Hey, everybody. Welcome back to Matt and Dwight Just Might, a podcast about two Midwest-based comedians who are just trying to figure it out, man. Reporting on their wins, their losses as they make their way through a career, question mark, in comedy.
It can be a career, I guess. The question mark was very apt for me this week. I had zero shows.
Okay. So, well, that'll do it for this week, everybody. We'll see you next week.
It's a self-imposed vacation.
Nice.
That was, by self-imposed, I mean I didn't get any shows booked this week. So,
you know, we would have just rolled with that. We could have made the whole episode about mental health and the importance of taking a break. But then you immediately just revealed, like, no, I wanted to. I just didn't get that calendar filled.
We went pretty mental health conscious on last week's episode. So I feel like that's good for the next.
Okay.
Probably 30 episodes.
Sure. Yeah. We don't need to get into that. Back to that grind, dog.
Yeah.
That grind.
People tune in. They hear how we're doing mentally. And I feel like our listenership goes up if it's mediocre to bad.
Okay. Okay, good. Yeah. So we don't want to check in too often. We want to make sure that we're getting those numbers up.
This episode's sponsored by BetterHelp.
Yeah. While our serotonin levels go down, the numbers go up. And that's what's really important. I guess we're gonna jump right into it. So you didn't have any shows last weekend. Did you go see any shows? What did you do? Did you enjoy your life?
What happened? I did. So Megan's sister, my sister-in-law, had her son. So we were just kind of on pins and needles. We were waiting for just to see if they needed help with their older kid, just to be on standby. And so that happened this weekend, and no plans. I got to spend time with my lovely wife. We went to the last day of the Indiana State Fair.
Nice.
Yes. Really hillbillied it up. I was in a tank top, short shorts. I was living my best Indiana State Fair life. And it was great, man. I hadn't been in a couple of years.
Yeah, I can't remember the last time I've been to the state fair, because it just seems like, it's a lot of walking outside in the heat and the direct sunlight, which I don't care for any of that. Those are three things I don't like.
What if there's a pork tenderloin or a turkey leg or a funnel cake on the other side of that walk?
Yeah, see, that I guess I'm just not very food motivated, because, you know, none of that stuff is enough to make me want to go.
Oh, you know? Man.
Yeah. So is that what you had? Is that the three things that you ate?
Yeah. So I can walk to the state fair from my house. It's probably like a 15-minute walk.
Sure. Add more walking in. That's even better. Yeah,
get those steps in, Matt. We're talking about, okay, I said no mental health, but physical health.
Okay, sure.
So I don't feel as guilty. So I had like a big old beer, because you can do that now at the state fair. Because they don't give a shit about kids anymore, I guess. That was like, it was so
wait,
funny.
Are you saying they don't card the kids? Like the kids are walking around with big giant beers too? Or
no, they changed the law, because it used to be, we don't want kids to see you guys
drinking.
Having beers. Yeah.
Okay. Yeah.
Like they're not going to go home. Like you're at the state fair, man. Come on.
Yeah.
But yeah, I had one of those. I had a funnel cake. And a giant turkey leg, and then I got a like shepherd's pie to go to eat on the Monon Trail. On the walk home.
Yeah,
full vacation mode. So any progress that I've made in the gym for the last 3 months completely went out of the window.
Well, that's okay, but you know, it's good to have those cycles and give you a new goal, you know, to work off your state fair body.
That's
you know,
it. Yeah. I'm now working out just to get ready for next year's state fair.
Yeah. You know, I'm down here in Jeffersonville, which is in the greater Louisville area, and the Kentucky State Fair just got going. It's only like a week or so in, and there's already been one accidental shooting when a guy's gun fell out of his waistband shot his lady in the foot.
He shot. Oh my God, Matt.
Yeah.
This is the most like, not to be stereotypical, but Kentucky, get out of here. Your gun fell out of your waistband and you shot the love of your life.
Yeah. I'm assuming
pinky toe.
Yeah. I'm assuming that also because it's hot, it's super hot, you know, this week down here and everything. So I'm assuming he just, you know, it wasn't like he didn't have a belt. He didn't have anything really keeping it in there. He's just wearing like, he might have been swim trunks. He might have been going on the water rides. We don't know, you know, like,
yeah.
I'm just feeling like how unsecured that gun was in the waistband of some,
yeah, you
like,
know,
some,
you know,
some,
how...
some gym shorts, you know, that are already like a little too big and a little too old, like the drawstrings worn out in them, you know.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. You pack your Desert Eagle, you put it right in the hip of your 1999 Chicago Bulls ill-fitting basketball shorts.
Clearly, yeah, exactly.
Do you think it kept the carnies like at bay? You know how they like to talk shit?
I think
they're like,
probably...
that's your girl? You shot your girl in the pinky toe?
I don't either that, or they offered him a job, one of the two. They're like, you're one of us. Come on in. Clearly you're making the same life decisions that we are. So man, yeah. I have some friends that are wanting to go to the Kentucky State Fair next weekend, which I guess is like the final weekend for it. And they asked me, and I'm just like, man, it's going to be so hot.
Yeah.
It's going to be so hot. Why would we do that?
I lucked out. I shot the gap. So when we went on Saturday, it was like perfect. It was like 72, 70.
Oh, nice.
Like,
yeah.
We went at like 6.
Mm-hmm.
And left when it started to get dark, because that's when all the riffraff starts to happen. But like, it was cool, man. It wasn't like super packed. I didn't have to wait in line for anything.
Nice.
We did some walking, and like I said, I had my tank on. So
there you go, showing off them guns. There
I wasn't.
These guns don't,
is over.
These guns don't drop. They don't fall. They're permanently attached to your torso.
Oh man, a boy can dream.
There you go. I actually did have a show this weekend. So sorry to disappoint our viewers or our listeners. We are going to talk about comedy for a minute.
He's bragging.
Yeah. Well, it's rare. It's rare that, you know, I have more shows in a week than you do, because you got that. You do have that hustle, you know, you live in Indianapolis, which has more like shows that you can jump on and do than even when I'm back in Bloomington and stuff like that. So, yeah, I'm going to flex a little bit. Can I flex on you 2 times? Can I do that?
I was assuming that it was coming.
There's a secondary flex. You're ready for a secondary flex?
Well, I thought the one that you're about to say was going to be the first one.
Oh, well, the first flex is I had a show. Thank you.
Yeah.
I did do a show. The secondary flex, or as we're going to call it, the after flex, kind of like an aftershock.
Sure.
Yeah. So my show was at Commonwealth Sanctuary, right? Which you had done the week before.
Uh-huh.
And I did sell more tickets than you. Just so you know. Let the rivalry begin. Yeah. I think you said you sold 10 tickets, right? Is that kind of what the number?
Yeah.
Yeah. I sold 13. So
my man.
Yeah. And then with random comedians hanging out that weren't on the show, we had a full 20 people in there. And yeah.
Was it good? Were they a good 13?
They were great. Even the comedians hanging out were really good. You know, it was great. It was about as good a show as you could possibly have. And top to bottom, super good. Allison Stapp hosted, very funny. And it was good, like, because there was different styles. And then there was a guy, David, who, I'm sorry, David, I don't remember your last name, but he did a guest set. Allison, kind of like dry, one-linery, very well-written, crafted jokes, you know, kind of quieter in the pocket. This David kid, like very goofy, super goofy. And then Corinne Turnbow was the feature, just murdered. And she's like, she's so good, so strong. But she's also pretty dirty, you know? And so I'm just watching like her do 25 minutes of dirty. And I'm like, all right, how am I gonna follow this, you know, because as we talked about on the podcast before, that's a little bit trickier thing to come out afterwards and match, particularly if someone's doing really, really well with it. But yeah, man, I got them pretty much out of the jump. I just kind of was very loose. It's probably the most fun I've had on stage in a long time. I riffed a bunch of stuff for the first time ever, that I think is going to wind up at least being in the rotation for a while as I develop it. It was great. It was a really, really awesome show. And then, of course, more importantly, I did sell 3 more tickets than you. So,
yeah,
the rivalry is on, my friend.
It is. We're back.
Anytime that we do the same venue.
Matt and Dwight fight again. It's back.
And, you know, but we don't, it doesn't have to be a fight. We could just pool our resources and then we would have sold 20 tickets. 21
Can you imagine?
If we would have co-headlined that motherfucker. Yeah.
That room with 20 people. Like 20, I said this, I know I said this last week, but that doesn't that room have so much potential to be like,
oh, it's amazing.
Powder keg of just, and like the energy bounces off of the walls already. And it's not even a quarter of the way full. I just love what they've done there.
Yeah, they're doing everything right for sure. And they did let me know that they do listen to our podcast. So shout out to Nathan and Jacoba and Alex and Max. Sorry, not Max. Maggie. Kind of the crew there. They're doing everything right. And they even afterwards, they wanted like a little debrief, like, is there anything else that we need to do? What do you see, you know, that we could be doing better? You know, they were talking about they had the fullest show they've had was when Terhune was there. Brent Terhune was there. Yeah. And they were just like, it was like, they said it was just rocking and rolling the whole time, which is great. And yeah, I think they're going to build it up and it's going to get the name out there. They've got Jeff Tate either this Sunday or next Sunday. So they're starting to do some bigger names and stuff as well. Yeah. And so I'm just glad that I got to do it the one time before they
did. Yeah. Well, we had our shot. We blew it.
That is our strategy, is get in the club when they very first open before they know what they're doing and then start booking actual real headliners. That's really.
Yeah. And then you get to come back on the off weeks, the holidays, July 4th, Thanksgiving week. And they throw you one because you're a good person.
Yeah, because you were there at the beginning. So yeah
exactly.
Yeah.
And they're like, you know what? He's not going to sell less than 10 tickets.
I know. Yeah, we don't think that was the peak. We think he's at least got, 12 to 15 tickets in him if we really market it well,
Well, that's awesome to hear because you I predicted that you would start having fun on stage again and then it would reinvigorate.
This is the whole thing. This is the thing. And I've said this several episodes in a row now. It's not the onstage stuff that had me kind of down. It was all the business stuff,
Well, like I wanted to. I wanted to transition into our booking challenge, though.
The challenge,
I wonder if these things can energize one another. Like when you have good shows and you're like, you have the pressure of headlining. So you're always thinking about selling tickets. Mm-hmm. Posting clips and promoting, all that shit sucks. Yes. And in addition to that, you have to keep trying to book shows. So part of doing the challenge from last week where we're going to book a show a day or try to book a show a day for 10 days was to you can't turn the other stuff off, but you also can't turn this side of it off.
Right.
Because sometimes it's the part that takes like the back seat the most.
Mm-hmm.
And like what happened to me last month was like I didn't have a bunch of like really good paying shows because I had been focused on the special, focused on promoting, and not focused on sending out avails and emails. So I just had the idea to do the challenge. You came along for the ride. We're a week into it. How's it going for you?
I want to say, first of all, I'm going to assume that your numbers are better than mine. I'm going to just put that out there in this manner, because, you had an entire week off and I was out there grinding on stage. I was driving to that venue. I was selling the merch.
You're losing sweet time, baby.
It's been really, really great, man. And I'm so glad that you suggested this because, and I think I may have texted you this as well. Like it has made me focus on booking in a way that I haven't done in months, right? Like it really has made me go back to the basics, which for me is to look at my past dates from like the previous year and farther back and see where have I not been to in a while that I feel like I have a good relationship with that I could hit back up, And a lot of places, you can't do them every year, you can do them every other year or something like that, depending on the room. It made me really kind of systematically go through that, send out emails. It made me go through my sent box, for my email account and look at people that I had been contacting, and maybe had never heard from or ones that were like, yes, get back to me in a couple months. And then I just kind of spaced it, And so I've booked two things. One of them is pretty good paying and the other one is fine. Neither one of them are like full club weekends or anything like that, but they just the process of getting, I expect there to be more returns after the 10-day challenge is over, and I'm going to keep going. I'm just, you know, we have another 3 days, we're a week into it. And so I'm going to keep pushing the rest of this week, sending out those emails and sending to people I've not reached out to yet. Mm-hmm. But just the process has been good, and it's made me feel more optimistic, or at least I'm doing some sort of steps of taking control of my own career again, and not just like, you know, oh, my shit's over, nobody gives a fuck.
Yeah.
Because it is one of those things that would be nice to be asked to not have to constantly remind people like, hey, I exist. Hey, I exist. Hey, I exist. Can I come to your room? Hey, I exist. Getting like, because it just doesn't happen that often for me, particularly. I just don't get the out of the blue, like, hey, do you want to come to our even like local or regional show?
Yeah.
You know, and I don't know if it's because I'm older, it's because I'm not hanging out, I'm not on the open mics. This is some real shit, and I understand how dumb and petty this is, and I realize it in the moment, and I get over it. But, you know, I see comics that are just a couple of years in, and they're doing these, like, little showcase shows or whatever in and around Bloomington, Indianapolis, wherever, Louisville, you know, and I'm just like, why the fuck is nobody asking me to do this?
Right.
But then at the same time, I just headline Helium.
Right.
You know, it's like, I'm fine, you know, but we do want to be asked to do everything, you know.
True.
You know, it's like many comics have said, I want to be able to turn things down. Like, I want to turn things down, you know?
Yeah, I think that's more of it. Because, like, sometimes people ask you to do a show and you're like, why the fuck? Like, you take it, at least I do sometimes. Yeah. Like, why would I do this on a Tuesday night for $25? Like,
right.
But that's just like a headspace thing. Like, if I was really working on stuff, hell yeah, I would do that.
Yeah. Because it's also stage time, and depending on the show, you would go do a Tuesday night to work on a bit for free if it was the right show and, you know, it was a good room. Yeah. I mean, one of the things that I did book, it's only $50 and it's a themed show, which is not my favorite. Mm-hmm. It's not the kind of thing that I'm into. And well, I mean, I'll just tell you, it's a roast battle thing happening in Louisville at the main club, at the big club, fancy club. And so I was just like, all right, it's a Sunday. It's $50.
Yeah.
It's a 10-minute drive from my brother's place to this club, you know, I don't love roasts, but they also, you get to do like a 10-minute set of stand up too. And I was just like, you know, A, there was the challenge. And then B, you know, my calendar is pretty open. And so like, okay, if that's one show that I do that week, at least I do something that week.
Right.
You know? And so I'm trying to be more positive and think about it going into it. I still don't know who I'm battling. They're supposed to connect us via email or something.
It's like face-to-face.
Face-to-face roast battle.
You look like style.
I think it's, I don't think it's that strongly themed, because I think the idea is we're supposed to talk to each other beforehand so we can give each other ammunition, which seems real weird. I'm not going to do that. I'm not going to tell this person anything about me. It's like,
they don't do that at the comedy fantasy camp. I can tell you that much.
No. But yeah, so, you know, the way I thought about it was like, it was very nice of the person to offer it to me, because I'd reached out because they book other things too. Mm-hmm. And they said, I don't know if you want to do this, but you can do this. And I was like, all right, I'll do it, because I feel like it'll be the thing where it'll be the one roast show or theme show that I do this year that reminds me like, oh, I don't really like these. I forgot.
Yeah.
I just need to prove it to myself again. You know, it's like every so often you got to just like, oh, right, Kale sucks. Okay.
Oh, yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, I like that process of working top down, meaning, so the way that I looked at it was like, every day I'm going to start by sending out comedy club weekend avails and kind of layer it. So give it a day and then start to hit up independent shows. Like, I had booked a couple of one-nighters that now that I'm just trying to turn them into two or three nights, which is just a tried and true thing. And, you know, a lot of it's doing research, like you said, going back through old dates, but also making sure that the contacts you had in the city still live there. Yes. Finding out who books a don't tell in a city, because they're everywhere. Like, there are places that will book a don't tell for you if, like, on a Wednesday or a Thursday, if it's possible for them to do that.
Right.
And, you know, like, every scene has its own little dynamics, power structure. Like, I was trying to book something in Springfield, Missouri, So at first I was like, maybe I can do one for the Wednesday on an off night. But you know, if he doesn't text me back or answer my email, then I go to the next person's like, hey, right. Do you know any producers? He gave me the person that books a Don't Tell. So now we're talking. So the returns will come after the 10-day period.
Sure.
But I'm at 6 out of 7.
All right.
Which is much better than I thought. Like I got a club weekend for January. So that was the goal the goal was to start booking out next year. I have one thing for next year. Like everything goes auxiliary to the end of the year. So, but like you said, it's been re-energizing just to sit down. This is like actual work and note keeping, note taking, and like asking for favors. And, you know, you build up goodwill by being a good person and doing well on stage so that you can come back and continue to build on those relationships. Like I don't get mad when people ask me, hey, do you know of any shows in Indianapolis? That's just what part of my job as a comedian in Indianapolis in this scene is to be able to bring in other people from other scenes. And so that's like that information exchange highway that I've really taken advantage of for this challenge specifically with a couple that I have tentatively booked. Like, hey, I just so you know, I have some club avails out. If it does come back, I can't turn down a full club weekend.
Right.
I think being like upfront with that is pretty important, but.
Yeah, I think that's all true. And I think you're right. Like, you know, it is frustrating. There is one person that came to mind when you were talking about this who I have found to be a little pushy when they're contacting me for leads and information. Yeah. And it's in how you do it. You know, it's also I don't know this person super well. We were on one show together and the only time they message me about anything is just, and they're asking also like a lot. They're asking for like, can you get me into the attic? Like just like, hey, do you know who does the Don't Tell here? Do you know who like, and I'm looking for a one nighter, like more base stuff. They're asking for some kind of voucher for me to get them in to one of the best clubs in the country who doesn't work like that. They have a very strict system that they use for who gets passed into feature and things like that. And they even like were maybe they tour with another comic and they were like, you know, do you think we could co-headline? And it's like, no one here knows you.
Yeah.
Why would, you know, it's one of those things where, and again, it could just be the medium, you know, this person, the one show I did do with them, they were very polite, very nice. They seemed perfectly fine as human beings. So I might just be getting lost in their internet messaging skills. It's coming off a little pushy.
It's all caps and exclamation points.
Yes, exactly.
Get me into the attic.
Yeah. And so, you know, and it's also never an offer in return. It's never, you know, like the information superhighway, it does have to go both ways. And I am very open, particularly if I think you're, you know, if I think you're solid, I think you're a good comic. I you know, I'll vouch for you left and right. I'll put in a good word for you without you even knowing about it, you know, because people ask sometimes like, you know, like who should we be looking at? And I'm more than happy to do that. But yeah, man, like having the sort of the challenge has been good because that structure has really motivated in a way that I think has been good for both of us. And maybe this should be a thing like every quarter, every 3 months, there's a 10-day challenge of like 10 shows in 10 days. Cause we don't want to just this to be the full-time thing. You know, you want to work on material and you gotta, you know,
right. But, and you don't, you also like, don't want to like the tendency or the urge is there just to like book something bad.
Like what I did.
Well, at least you're getting $50 for 10 minute spot. You just have to do some dumb shit associated with it that you don't want to do.
Yeah.
So I think that's fine. And it's like, it's not like you're driving 6 hours to do a $50 spot. It's like down the street.
Yeah.
So it counts.
Okay. Thank you. Yeah. No. And again, maybe I will learn to love it. Maybe I'll become all about them roasts.
It's like
talk about your mama. I'm gonna talk about you.
That's where you start. Typically.
Talk about your girl with missing toes because your gun fell out your waistband.
Like, damn, they shouldn't have given each other so much ammo. This is very specific.
Yeah.
Aren't roasts like dying? Aren't they done? Like, didn't they have a time? So.
I thought that they definitely seemed like they'd receded a little bit, but I guess maybe, I don't know. You know, and this is at Louisville Comedy Club, which I've worked before, and you know, I've worked for that chain before, and it's a great chain to work. But they also are a big room and that does a lot of specialty type stuff like this. I'll have like the Dirty Show, which I've closed out the Dirty Show for them before, mm-hmm. where then I just had to go back and compile 30 minutes of all my dirtiest jokes. You know, it's like I had to go a couple albums back. I'm like, oh, yeah. All right, you know, because I've got a couple dirty jokes here and there, but to do 30 minutes straight of, you know, fuck jokes,
yeah,
yeah. And so they're great to work for, but yeah, they do throw a lot at the wall and see what sticks. And I feel like Helium does the same thing. I think a lot of those chain places that are trying to see how many nights a week they can be open and have stuff going on mm-hmm. are doing some of this stuff. So maybe roasts are coming back. Maybe this is the dot. Maybe this will be the last roast that ever happens. Maybe we'll just kill it.
There's a story.
Yeah. I have thought about like, what if I just like, I'm just very nice instead. Like, I was like, I was really just here for the 10-minute spot. You can roast me all you want. I don't give a shit. I've got weird teeth and a big forehead. I'm old. I get it. Yeah, let's go.
Yeah. You know? You go full 8 mile.
Yep. Mm-hmm. My roast is just roasting myself before they can do it.
Yeah.
It's like, you're such a bad comic. You're probably going to make fun of my forehead. Like, you're so... So non-creative. You're gonna talk about my lisp, aren't you? Okay.
How could you not do this now? Like, just I already know everything you're gonna say about me.
Yeah.
Oh, I don't know how this isn't your strategy moving forward. Well,
maybe it will be. Maybe we'll see.
Also, like, that's my inner monologue. Like, every time I have a hostile audience.
what do you think? They think they're like looking at your.
Yeah, yeah. Like, it's like. Oh, yeah. Look at this prematurely bald, smiley son of a bitch.
Yeah.
And then I say that into the microphone. And mm-hmm. then I still somehow get to come back to Michigan. I don't know why they keep having me back.
How many of these 6 shows that you booked are in Michigan?
The club weekend in January is in Michigan. And actually, and then there's another one in Niles, Michigan.
Okay. All right.
They love me there. They just don't show it from the audience.
Yeah. There you go. You know, that's what it is. Yeah.
Please come back so we can stare at you blankly. Yeah.
Like, maybe we'll figure it out the next time, or you'll figure it out the next time. Like, they're investing in you, you know, to see. Right. Do you feel like every time you go to Michigan, it's like Red from Shawshank Redemption going up for his parole here.
Yeah, just
and you're just like, when they finally love you, like, I don't give a shit. Like, you're just gonna stamp your little stamp that says not funny. So go ahead and stamp it.
It is 100% that. 100% that. I deserve the laughs. They're just the parole board's just not gonna give them to me.
Yep. You're the only guilty man of Shawshank, and guilty of being hilarious, and they won't give it to you. I do want to say before we move on to the question of the week, though, I think about the challenge too. For people that are interested in doing this, we've kind of given a few pointers, things that we've done, you know, like, which is if you've been doing this for a while, you have to go back and dig through your old emails. And, you know, it's sometimes we forget about people that mm-hmm. we had started a conversation with and something came up or had a fallout or whatever. Go back to those conversations, go back to your, you know, your old schedules and places that you've done, that it's been a while. But also the thing that I do, and this is so easy to do with the smartphone, is, you know, most of our feeds as comedians, social media feeds as other comedians. Mm-hmm. So when a comedian posts about they're doing a show somewhere of a place that I've never heard of, or it's a place that I know of that I hadn't thought to send to yet, I'm just like screen grabbing it on my phone.
Yeah.
I'm going to sit down. That's what my process is going to be tomorrow. I'm going to go through all the photos that I've been just grabbing off of people's like Instagram feeds and stuff like that. You know, I don't have a database, but like, you know, that same process, my inbox, my outbox box is my database. Because there's a specific way of wording I'll do, particularly in the subject line, that I can search for. This is everybody that I send avails to, right? Yeah. Or whatever. Or you can even just key search the word avails and all that shit will pop up.
Right.
And so that's going to be my thing then is, you know, but it is. Yeah. You talked about it. And this is a thing that people maybe that are brand new to this process are going to find out. It is so much research.
Yeah.
And there are people that do keep spreadsheets because they're more organized that way. And it's just, it's a ton of time on your computer.
Yeah.
Finding out who to contact.
Yeah.
I mean, I texted you for a contact who's I had at one point, but I'd forgotten,
likewise.
You know?
Yeah.
Yeah. And so just like, it's a ton of time on the computer, and people that are casual comedy fans don't really understand that part of it. There is a huge section of what we do that is basically office work.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
yep.
And so it's not just writing, you know, performing, recording, editing, posting, social media, which all that's enough. But then there's all this stuff too, right?
Right.
You know? Until you are lucky enough to get to the point that you have a booking agent, and you know,
yeah,
wouldn't that be nice? Wouldn't that be a nice?
That would be.
Have?
See, that's the thing. It's like whether it's you or you have a booking agent, someone's always got to be asking for you.
Yes.
Someone, that agent's reaching out to clubs and places. So it's not just a, you know, you blow up and then, oh, everybody's going to be begging me to come to. It's like, no.
Yeah.
There's an agent that's going to take 20% so they can do that office work for you.
Right.
That's
exactly.
What you're paying them for. So yeah. I'm glad that it's going the way that it's going. I probably won't do it every 3 to 4 months, maybe twice a year I'll do this.
Okay.
Just to hopefully keep that energy. Like I think I'm pretty good about sending avails every 4 to 6 weeks anyway, but it's not like an every month thing, or like I have a calendar. But I do want to piggyback off something that you said, like when you're like screen grabbing and like checking out comics that you see doing shows, like try to do your own research before reaching out to that person.
Oh yeah. I don't message that person.
No, I know you don't.
Yeah, no. Like, I discover there's a club called Comedy Cabin in Janesville, Wisconsin, because a friend is doing it. I'm like, cool, let me look into that. And yeah, I didn't even talk to the friend who I screen grabbed about it.
This is like very important for new comics. Like try to do your own research. And then because the capital of a referral is very important. So you definitely don't want to burn that unless you absolutely have to, or unless you think it's like a 100% thing that you're going to get into a place. You don't want to ask like one comic, hey man, can I just use your name when I send out booking avails to 30 people? Like, no man, get bent, dog.
Yeah, for sure. And again, like we've talked about this early on in the podcast, you know, it is about, you know, having some common sense and some, you know, nuance about how you do this. Don't just go in, you know, like even if you are not even referral, even if you're just approaching a brand new club, you know, give them the as quick and peppy as you can. Like, here's all the pertinent information. These are my credits. Here's the link to my clip. Here's my avails, you know, and be ready to, you know, be told no a lot. Not even be told no, just like not hear back from them. You know, that's the thing. I was talking with somebody about, you know, a newer comic was really starting to take this on, this idea of taking on, trying to get book shows. And we're like, I hope they understand that there's a lot of just no replies.
Yep.
You know, for, you know, and like, so for the two shows that I've gotten, and I've had a couple of other really good conversations that I think will pay off. Let's see. I'm just looking here. It looks like I sent out about 30 emails.
Mm-hmm.
And then I also did quite a bit through direct messaging, because there's some people that do book just for their Facebook Messenger, you know, people that I've already got an existing relationship or whatever. So I probably sent out another 20 messages through IG Messenger or Facebook Messenger. It's a lot of not hearing back, you know?
Yeah.
And so you just gotta, you know, not take that shit personally, you know?
Yeah, definitely don't. Speaking of not taking it personally, I don't know what that has to do with anything, to be honest, but I'm very good at transitions. Do you have any shows coming up?
Yeah, don't take this personally, Dwight, but I don't have any shows.
we're back on top, baby.
Yeah, it's back to Dwight's world, I guess. The next thing that I have is I have back-to-back weekends in Minnesota. You've been kind of getting out there in a little way. So I will also do the same thing. September 15th and 16th, you can catch me at the Comedy Corner Underground in Minneapolis, Minnesota. And then the following weekend, the 22nd and 23rd, I'll be at Goonies in Rochester, Minnesota, headlining both of those weekends. And originally I was going to do like a 10-day kind of stay up there, but I think now I'm just going to go up, do the shows, come back, be here for my brother, take him to appointments and stuff like that for a couple of days, go up, you know, just kind of minimize the time that I'm away from here. But I'm excited to get back up there, you know?
You fucking pro, man. That's the best time of year to go up there.
Yeah. Like, so the last time I did CCU was on Memorial. Is it Memorial Day? Is that the one at the end of the summer? Is it Memorial Day or Labor Day?
That's Labor Day.
So it was Labor Day weekend and the state fair, which the Minnesota State Fair apparently is like one of the biggest in the country, and like nobody does. We had a very tiny audience for one show, and my other show got canceled because literally nobody came. Not one person came.
That is amazing.
Yeah. And so, you know, Bob and Courtney both were like, felt really bad because that was an oversight. They were supposed to always only book locals on like those big holiday weekends and all the weekends of the state fair for that very reason. Mm-hmm. But they just spaced it when I had sent out avails. They were like, oh, how about this one? So I'm coming in. not on state fair weekend this time, which is good.
That's good. Weather will still be nice for you.
Yeah, it should still be good. And, you know, and I do love Minnesota and their audiences are pretty great. So looking forward to that. What about you? What do you got going on this week?
I've got August 25th, Chicago On Tour Brewing, BrewTube Comedy. Show starts at 7. If you're in Chicago or the greater Chicagoland area, come see a good show. It's always fun. And if you like craft beer or kombucha, they have them both. So come through. Would love to see you. And that's it.
The laughing with kombucha. Laughing in kombucha feels like it would be a, because kombucha is kind of like, it's kind of thick and slimy, right?
No, I mean, now it's like,
I've never carbonated. Had it. It just looks like it's carbonated. Tell.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. It's like
maybe like the original OG kombucha was like, it kind of looked like you were drinking kelp or something like that.
That's like Go-Gurt you're describing. No, it's like,
we all have our points of reference, liquid, I guess so.
Which you thick and slimy.
Yeah.
Mine went to Go-Gurt immediately. Yeah. That's not kombucha, but I promise you the kombucha at On Tour Brewing is not thick and slimy. It is tasty, carbonated beverage that is good for your liver and delivers a ton of probiotics, I believe.
There you go.
I can't wait to get corrected on that description of kombucha.
Well, I just Googled it, and apparently if kombucha is made incorrectly, it is slimy. And there's this is a great Reddit question. Why is my booch slimy? Got to go to the clinic. You got to get a shot.
Yeah. No answers for that one. Wrap it up.
So I was mistaken on that. So yeah, I just thought that would be a weird beverage to be drinking and then also laughing a bunch with. But it's apparently it's fine. Yeah. Just like a lot. Sidebar before we get into the question of the week. Is there nothing better than when you are killing so hard that you become worried about somebody in the audience, like they're laughing so hard that you're like, are you okay? Like, are you having some sort of attack or something?
Yeah.
And then they're like waving you off. They still can't talk though, because they're out of breath and the tears are coming out of their eyes. And you're like, I am actually concerned about you for a second.
Because what it does, it distracts the rest of the audience, even though they're having a good time. But like, if you got like a howler.
Yeah.
Just like a howler, just like hyperventilating and shit.
Yeah,
that's a nice one. That feels good. That it is good.
Yeah. All right. So anyway, sorry, I just had that thought. Let's see. Should we jump into the question of the week? We got a multi-part one. So
let's see how far we get with it.
Okay. Yep. So we have a three-part question from Juan Arellano. Juan, very funny, younger, up-and-coming comic in Indianapolis. I don't even know if I should say up-and-coming. He's doing a bunch of dope shows. He's already pretty much there for being a year in. You know, getting on some good shows. Very funny. Was he in the helium contest?
He was a finalist.
Yeah, that doesn't surprise me. Very funny, very likable young man.
He had a great set.
Yeah. So this is his email. And again, we'll try to get to as many of these as we can. We might have to save the third one for next week. We'll find out. His email says, "Hello, team. I couldn't land on just one question to ask, so I decided to ask the three and figured I'd let you guys decide what to do with the questions." And we'll just go through these and see how far we get. I should also, just all three of his questions are in relation to Steve Martin's book, Born Standing Up. They're not three separate questions. They're sort of three specific sort of pulls from that book and wants to get our takes on it.
This format of question asking is not new to the podcast.
Our podcast loves a bullet point. They love to format those emails. You know what I'm saying? In this thesis, I'll be asking, all right. So number one, in Steve Martin's book, Born Standing Up, Steve writes, quote, "I was seeking comic originality and fame fell on me as a byproduct. I did not strive valiantly against doubters, but took incremental steps studded with a few intuitive leaps," end quote. An original and unique comedy style is something every comedian wants. First of all, Juan, that's very nice of you to think that, but that's not true.
That's that 1 year optimism.
Yeah, exactly. The good comics do, for sure. But there's a lot of comics that are more than happy to be unoriginal and copy other people. But he says, no one really knows how to develop this, right? What advice would you give to comedians aiming to develop originality and uniqueness in their style and voice? Do you want to take the first swing at this one?
Sure. I always think, like, this is a great question, by the way. And if you have the foresight, like a few years in or even a decade in to be thinking or asking it, then you're probably already on the right track. Mm-hmm. And I think this, for me, comes down to process of writing out my own experience, my own lived experience, because that's what's unique to me. Like, I remember early on, a comic asked me, I was also very new, is like, what if you just run out of stuff to talk about? Like, that was a very real fear because we don't mm-hmm. know anything, but you keep living life. We talk about it a lot. Like, you live life. You can't write comedy. You can't be a good stand-up comic if you're not actually experiencing the thing that we're all experiencing. Whether you're writing like social commentary, that's just something that's never going to get stale. I think we've figured that out, if not forever, but definitely in the last 6 to 8 years. Like, this is something that's evergreen. Writing whatever style of comedy that you want to write has to start with your own lived experience and how you see the world through your own perspective. So, like I said, if you're worried about this, if you're worried about uniqueness or originality, that's something that's never going to go away. Like, that little part of your brain is like, oh shit, am I a hack? Like, has anyone thought of this before? Or does anyone mm-hmm. have a similar story? If you're worried about it, you're probably on the right track. Also, like, I think people will tell you, hey, that sounds a little familiar. Mm-hmm. Whether they're right or wrong is up for you to like do your own research. But I always say, like, if it sounds familiar, or like a couple of people say something, that joke's never going to define your career. There's nothing wrong with mm-hmm. like getting rid of something that makes you feel a little icky because you feel like it's too familiar or not unique enough. Mm-hmm. So, I don't think you'll lose that like sense of, I need to always be the most original person. So I don't think it's a problem, but just keep it in the back of your head. Like, am I really expressing my own unique voice and perspective through this bit, through this particular dick joke?
Yes, that's the challenge, is to write the dick joke that no one else has written. You know, that's what we're all chasing.
What we all want to do.
Yeah, you know, like, sure, we've all talked about farting, but I'm going to really get to the bottom of it. really going to demystify the fart for the audience. No, I think that you know, we've talked about this before. Sometimes our advice is probably a little too similar because we're very similar comedians and what we are pursuing and as far as our personal goals as artists. I agree with everything you said. I would say that as far as uniqueness and originality, you know, people that are trying to be to really stand out, like stylistically, let's say, mm-hmm. or even what the things that they're writing about, often you can tell it's kind of like this was a deliberate choice. It feels a little bit like a costume someone's wearing on stage, right? They're really trying like to how weird I can be or whatever. There are people that are exceptionally weird and original and unique, you know, like Emo Phillips. But the difference is those people are being true to themselves.
Mm-hmm.
And that's really, I think, the key as far as like your originality and your uniqueness comes out. The more true you are to who you are on stage, and you get rid of artifice, and it really is just distilled down to the real you and your viewpoint on things. I think that's the safest place you can be. And if you know, there's a million jokes about dating and marriage and travel and things like that. You find your own like little take on it. That's mm-hmm. the beauty of it, you know? But the comics that are like an Emo Phillips, a very specific thing. As long as it's truly them, like Stephen Wright, you know, I've met Stephen Wright. He's basically like that off stage. Same thing with Emo Phillips. Like it's amped up. It's mm-hmm. a little bit more, but that's pretty much who they are, you know? And so I think just really being honest with who you are and being true to yourself is the key to being original for sure. You may not be the most unique comic out there. And you can try to write about, you know, stuff that no one else is writing about, but then, you know, you're kind of leaving behind the shared human experience, you know, like Stuart Huff, who's a master comedian.
Right.
Has really figured this out. He talked about when he started off, he was obsessed with not being like anybody else. So he's writing jokes about like quantum string theory and stuff mm-hmm. like that. And no one in the audience knew what the fuck he was talking about. And it's like, it didn't work.
Right.
He was going so far outside of the common, but he's also figured out how to be very unique and do these sort of like historical research hours, you know, where he's going through but it's all tied around a human experience and human emotion that everybody can get on board with.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so putting in the work and making it unique, I think just comes with hard work and not always settling on the first joke,
right?
The first version of the joke, you know? And it's a thing that continues on. Like you said, there's always part of us that get in the back of our head. We're like, I don't know. Is that a little hacky? I've come up with jokes that maybe some other people think are hack, but it really happened to me, or I think it's funny, or it's something very similar. I just messaged Derek Shane the other day because I saw one of his Instagram reels. He's also talking about his mother passing away.
Yeah.
And we have almost verbatim the same like little kind of jokey line to get into it.
Yeah.
And I just messaged him and, you know, great minds, and we're friends and everything. And I even said we should just go on tour together.
Yeah.
And he didn't say, oh, you should drop it or I should drop it. We just both, you know, because he's been in the game for so long that it's not even because then he immediately takes it in a different direction. Basically, the jokes are about, we both have a joke about our mothers being cremated, right?
Mm-hmm.
And the way we kind of just open that information up is very, very similar. But then he takes it in a completely different direction than I take it. You know, that shit's going to happen too, you know, particularly topical stuff, man.
Yeah.
Like, it's very hard to be original and unique if you're writing about topical things. But if you just really bear down and be analytical and self-reflective on what you really, truly think and believe about something, I think you'll find your originality and your uniqueness there, you know?
Yeah, I agree. I agree. That's a great question. I think, originality is something to stay vigilant about. Like you said, always have that antenna up, but don't let it stop you from actually like writing what you care mm-hmm. about. Don't like oh, this idea is not original. No, explore it mm-hmm. and then figure out why you feel that way. So
now to give a different example, or a time that I did decide to drop something, is I was doing a joke about sports and about baseball and stuff, and I wound up having almost an identical joke to Jeff Tate. And he has a big chunk about baseball, and we had almost the same joke. And I was like, I don't really give a shit about this, you know, mm-hmm. like, and so I dropped it and it was fine, you know, because also like I was just writing about it in a more, here's something to write about. I don't really, I like baseball fine, but it's not a passion, you know?
Right.
And so, being willing to also let some stuff go, particularly as you grow as a comic, you know, like there's so many jokes that I, you know, did the first couple of years that I wouldn't do today. It's not like, because like they're too dirty or too, you know, they're not politically correct enough or whatever. It's just that My viewpoint has changed. There's just such simple jokes.
Yeah.
Like, there's a lot of jokes that I had in the beginning for several years. And some of the jokes on the first hour are, they're just the setup and the premise. I mean, there's like a punchline.
Right.
But
right.
I was just like, bit up. And then I just moved on as like, oh, I didn't do any craft to really develop that out into a thing, yep. you know, to really expose a viewpoint at that point. And I feel like this is true of most comics starting off. You know, you're just trying to figure out how to write jokes and get laughs.
Mm-hmm.
This other stuff, like how to be really honest on stage, how to be original, like how to have like truth to what you're talking about. That shit comes a little bit later, you know, because mm-hmm. if you start with all that stuff, you're just going to eat shit for a long time in comedy. There's a lot of people who are trying to be very honest and vulnerable and real that haven't figured out how to do jokes yet.
Right.
And so it's just right. like all of a sudden becomes like a poetry slam or something. And, you know, so yeah. it's perfectly fine to figure out how to be funny and write jokes first and then bring this stuff into the mix. You know, it's part of the growth process. So for sure.
100%.
Yeah. So I think just one more thing about originality, I think it would be good to get because like I said, you and I are very similar comics. So let's go ahead and get Carlos Mencia on the line here. What he has to say about it.
what a legacy that guy has,
man.
What a freaking legacy.
It's also one of those things where that just lets you know that also that some clubs just do not give a shit. Like the
no.
fact that he still works some clubs, it's like, oh, they don't care about comedy as an art form at all.
No,
you know.
No.
Yeah.
Do you want to table the last two parts? I think they're good
yeah,
questions.
So we're,
and
yeah, we're
we want to give them
time. Yeah. So there's it's cliffhanger. Yeah. So welcome to the trilogy, the Juan Arellano trilogy. This is episode one. I will say that maybe this is the first Matt and Dwight Just Might book club. If anyone has not read Born Standing Up, it's a very fascinating book. And I think most people have this experience. When you go in reading it, it's not what you're expecting.
Right.
It yeah. is about his life and about his life in stand-up, but the way he writes about it is pretty unlike anyone else I've ever read, you know, when they yeah. talk about the art of stand-up or their life in it. It's very different.
Yeah, I agree. I probably read it 15 years ago, like when I was reading a lot of comedy books. It is like stylistically unique, just like he is. Like he's yeah. a very unique person, and that comes across in his writing.
Yeah.
Like I remember reading like I think they bring this up in W. Kamau Bell's documentary, but I remember reading Bill Cosby's book and it's like there's like an explicit line of him like, oh, you give mommy a little drink and she feels a little dizzy, and it's like, this is a children's book. And like, so when it comes to originality and living your truth, that can come across on stage or in books. Or in little children's books.
Yeah. That's the thing, is like why anybody was surprised when that finally came out. I mean, he'd been telling us for years. I mean,
for years. You
know, Spanish Fly was one of his biggest bits on his early stand-up album of his. Like
America's Dad is goofy.
There's an episode of The Cosby Show where he slips like horny goat weed or whatever into people's drinks. On the Cosby Show. Like, yeah, anyway. He told us, you know. So so thank you for that question, Juan. If anybody else would like to send in a very long multi-form multi-part question to the email account, you can, or it can be a short and sweet question if you like.
Why would you do that?
Why would you break the trend? You know, so our email address is mattanddwight@gmail.com. That is mattanddwight@gmail.com. We'd love to take a stab at any questions that you have. And also, you know, I've been saying this a little bit more frequently lately, but, you know, if you have a moment, you want to rate and review the podcast, that'd be great. You know, we grow this thing enough, then me and Dwight will both be selling like 20 tickets each. It'll be get the fan base out there.
My aspirations won't let me even imagine that. I can't think that high. But guys, send us in, like, if you're doing the booking challenge or you want to do the booking challenge, I want to hear how it's going. Challenges, maybe blind spots that we have that we don't discuss. Part of this podcast is trying to get everybody more work and doing it the right way. But, you know, we also would like to learn from you or answer more questions. So send us, we both have social media, send us an email, let us know how it's going.
I'm glad you brought that up because I wanted to mention this, and this is a good because we do have a few minutes left. You had a clip go viral this past week, right?
I did on Facebook.
Let's talk about that experience. So it was a clip from the special, right?
Yep.
And I wonder if it was a joke that you had already posted before and it was a repost of it. Is that correct?
No, it was a, so I have done that. Mm-hmm. And like advice will tell you that you can do that with no real penalty, really more benefit. So I had posted this on Facebook probably 10 days ago or 10 days from when it blew up. Mm-hmm. And for some reason, it just started getting shared like wildfire. And the reason I wish that it happened on Instagram and not Facebook is because everybody on Facebook is a goddamn sociopath, psychopath, masochistic, insane person. Mm-hmm. But let me pull it up and read some of the, actually, I'm not going to pull it. I can just tell you it's gotten 750,000 views.
That's amazing. And
like so many comments are like, because it's the master bedroom like setup. Mm-hmm. It's not even the joke. It's really a 90-second clip out of an 8-minute bit talking about, oh, I didn't know you couldn't say master bedroom.
Right. And then is the stinger on it is when you point at someone in the audience is like, you knew. Like,
yeah.
You're just that woke. You get the push notifications.
Yep.
Right. Yeah. Yep. So yeah. And so, cause I remember like the thumbnail.
Yeah.
Is you on stage going, you're just that woke.
You're just that woke.
So it is like perfect. When did you pick that? Or is that just how the algorithm did it?
So
did you pick that thumbnail?
I didn't post this one. This 4x3 posted and I was a collaborator.
So they were very savvy and knowing that having the words, you're just that woke on the screen, those words on the screen was probably going to drive engagement.
I think it just got lucky. Like I don't think they just got lucky. I think they saw an opportunity to post quote unquote crowd work, even though the crowd work's very scripted. Uh-huh. Like it's just saying you're that woke. And I reposted it on Facebook and the caption was, you can't say anything anymore, which
even better, even more.
It was vitriol from both sides. Yeah. Like any comic that says you can't say anything anymore is trash, garbage. And like all these comments, you can just tell nobody's watching the clip.
Yeah.
Because like a lot of comments are like, actually, Master Bedroom came from a Sears catalog in 1920. It had nothing to do with slavery. Mm-hmm. And I was like, well, that wasn't what the bit was. So where I feel like, so on TikTok, the clip got like 75K, which is really good for me. Mm-hmm. But the discourse was so much positive. Like, it was like, oh, I learned something today. Oh, yeah. I didn't know that either. Oh, isn't that silly?
Yeah.
And Facebook was like, I will kill your mother if you tell me that I cannot say master bedroom because I've been saying it my whole life. Your mother's a whore and I hope she dies in a fucking fire. And I was like, well, virality really has, I don't know. Like, I don't feel, it was nice to have the number. Yeah. But I don't know what it means.
Right.
So what's that mean for me? Like, I know, like, to do it over and over and over and over again.
Right.
I think really starts to build
up
stuff. But like,
I think if first of all, if it translates into followers,
which it has on Facebook, I got a couple thousand extra followers. Yeah.
But I think also, I think the idea is if you can get a couple of million view clips, then you're probably going to find yourself with a lot more bargaining material for booking into certain rooms. There are definitely certain rooms that you can tell that that's one of the metrics, not everybody, but there's definitely ones. And so you just need to, do you have a bit called white slavery? Can you get there? I can
repurpose my black atheist bit.
There you go. Just... Mitch McConnell and the get mask. There you go.
Yeah. Yeah. But yeah, I don't know. It's always the next thing. It's like, I fucking got a couple thousand followers. We'll see if that moves the needle. It won't. I don't know. I don't know what it means yet, but yeah, people are, if you want to entertain yourself for an hour, go to my Facebook page, my comedy Facebook page, find the clip that says you can't say anything anymore, and just start reading the comments. It is fantastic.
Yeah, but I will say all that engagement, though, probably helped it. The more the people commented and bought in the comments, man.
Oh, yeah, and shared
the
it.
Best thing. Yeah, it's the best thing you can do. Yeah, man.
Hell
yeah.
I aim to piss off both sides. I am a true American in that way.
Yeah. Yeah, you're like, you need to be just at the mothership down in Austin, my buddy.
Come on. Ain't nobody safe.
Tell it like it is. Well, let's see what maybe it'll be over a million by next week when we do another episode of the podcast. We'll see.
Yeah.
We'll have another one go viral, and that would be very cool too.
Yep.
Thanks everybody for listening. That's been the full hour. Thanks for checking out the podcast. We kind of went out of order a little bit, but I did want to get that in because I wanted to, you know, get your take on the virality of it. So yeah. Thanks everybody for listening. We've already given the email address and all that kind of stuff. This also marks the first episode of the podcast that we did not do a single music reference.
Oh no.
We went the full hour.
Oh my goodness. Are we turning over a new leaf?
No. You can put one in here at the very end. You can got like a just want to drop a little something.
I'm the master of my own domain. That is a mm-hmm. reference that nobody's going to get, and it's not going to make it into the podcast. How do you like that?
I like that. I like that you think Seinfeld is a musical reference.
Well, Wale did an album with.
Oh, that's
Seinfeld.
True. Yeah.
He did like three of them.
Yeah. I was getting there. You hadn't listened there. I listened to one of those Seinfeld albums. You told me about it.
Yeah. Seinfeld's like, Wale's my favorite rapper. And I was like, I'm not sure that's a rap. Like, that's not the rap
title that anybody wants.
You don't want that type of street cred. Seinfeld loves my shit, dog.
It's not quite as good as being on Obama's summer playlist every year.
I need a new producer.